All right, everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get things started here and show. All right, the presentation. Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is changing how you perceive unhealthy foods. And it's kind of come up. I've had a few conversations with some clients this week, and this has kind of been a theme. And this is really the secret, I think, you know, ultimately to really gaining control over the way that you eat. You know, I think it's all right here. So let's kind of hop right in. Well, we start with this quote. I'm not sure who Gustav Flaubert is, but it says, "There is no truth. There is only perception." And I believe that's true. And it's especially true for what we're talking about here tonight. So again, we start with the idea that perception really is reality. And it's funny. I'm reading this book called How We Make Emotion, How Emotions Are Made. And goodness, you know, neuroscience this day and age is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, truly, the way we perceive things literally is reality. There really is no objective reality as it seems. So that's one side of it. But the side we're really going to focus in on is when it comes to food, we are so manipulated in the sense of how much advertising we see and how conditioned we are when it comes to food, that you know, we really live in this alternate reality of food. And so we really need to rein this in and take control of our perceptions. And when you do, it changes everything. And so we start with the idea, again, there really isn't an objective truth that some things are good or some things are bad. Literally everything is good and bad. And it is the perceptions we have that make it one or the other for us. Okay. And so this is really important to understand, because we're not going to look at any food as being just bad or just good. Again, there's always this spectrum, you know, going on with it. And so, you know, foods you hate ice cream because you love ice cream, but you hate it because it's, you know, it's causing you to struggle with your weight. Instead of just saying we hate it, again, we want to recognize both sides of it, right? Yeah, it tastes good. We enjoy eating on one hand, but then it's sabotaging our weight loss efforts on the other hand. Okay. And so again, it is good and bad. And I think understanding that everything is good and bad makes it easier for us to be able to choose which thing we want to focus in on and which one's going to serve us best. Okay. But it's actually a lot easier to realize that everything's on that spectrum, as opposed to some things are in the bad category and some things are in the good category. It all depends on your perceptions and where you're at, your perspective. Your perceptions give you the greatest leverage over your behaviors, okay? Not willpower. And so this is really the core of this lesson here. Typically, when we want to change our eating behaviors, for example, and this really applies to any behavior, but specifically when it comes to eating behaviors, we say, okay, well, I love eating cookies, but I got to stop myself. And that's kind of how we do it. We just accept that the perception that we have of cookies, right? And so again, if you're trying to stop eating cookies, but you keep eating them, what we want to understand is that obviously, unconsciously, there's a perception of cookies that is favorable, right? That's leading us, that's encouraging us to eat them. And we're trying to stop them with willpower. And that is a very bad way to create long-term change, because your unconscious perceptions just run automatically, require no energy. Your willpower takes tons of energy. And so it's a really unfair fight, and it's one you're going to lose over the medium to long term, without question. And so really what we want to get into the pattern of, and we're going to go through ways to do that tonight, is we want to recognize that if there's a food like cookies that we're struggling with, instead of just accepting that the perception, the way we feel about them, is the absolute truth, instead we work to change that perception. Because if you magically could all of a sudden think about cookies and the first thing you thought of is, you know, again, the ingredients of them, the calories of them, how much weight that's going to put on your body, how it makes you sad when you binge on them, how it makes you feel defeated, how it discourages you. If that's the first thing that popped into your mind when you thought of cookies, then it's going to be a lot easier not to eat them. Okay. So it's really important that you learn how to do that and learn how to do it intentionally, as opposed to just relying on willpower. Okay. And so again, we're going to go into some ways to do that. So again, I was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, how does this happen? Again, we don't live in a vacuum. So it's estimated, and this was estimated, as far as I remember, before the internet even existed, that we're exposed to 3,000 ads a day. Okay. And I got to imagine with the internet now, it's probably 30,000, but you get the point. It's a lot of advertisement. And it, when it comes to food anyways, it is always conditioning us to perceive foods that are kind of making us miserable in one sense in the most positive, optimistic, craving filled way possible. Okay. And so again, it's important to recognize that you have been influenced, right? Your perspectives and perceptions have been influenced and are constantly being influenced by outside forces. And we want to take control of that, because when you do, again, you can see things for what they are. It makes everything else a lot easier. And so one of the ways we're going to do that is, again, it's not so much that you're trying to trick yourself as much as it is you're trying to cleanse the lenses of your perception to see things for what they are. Okay, that's what we're doing. And so, you know, I always like to say that you've got the truth on your side. And I believe truth is the strongest weapon you have against false conditioning. Okay, and so what that means, again, we're going to get into the details of this in a moment, but it's not so much that we're going to say, oh, I hate cookies. We've all tried that. Oh, I don't like cookies, right? We don't believe that. So what we need to do is we need to not say that we hate cookies, but we just need to see the other side of cookies. And again, I'm using cookies as an example for whatever the food may be. So that instead of when we think of cookies, the initial thing is the flavor, the taste, the mouthfeel, how it feels to chew them. Instead of that being the initial perception becomes, as soon as I finish eating, I feel discouraged. I feel full. I feel down on myself. I feel depressed, right? My self-image suffers. I feel like, oh man, now I gotta get myself back on track, right? Because that's all true. And so if you can shift that perception so that that's the primary perception, then everything becomes a lot easier, okay? So when I say everything is good and bad, what I mean is I love this picture. This really, really describes that. And so if you haven't seen this picture, it's a famous one because you may, again, if you've never seen this picture right now, and again, I'm not going to take you through the whole thing because at this point, a lot of people have seen this, but basically this is a picture of two women. Right? It's a picture of a young woman. It's a picture of an old woman. And it's your paradigm, right? It's your perceptions unconsciously that are going to dictate which one you see. And again, if you've gone through this, maybe you'll be able to kind of flip back and forth. But even still, typically, we kind of tend to see one or the other. And we see one at a time. But so if you don't see, I'll help you out a little bit. The young woman is the woman. She's kind of looking away, kind of over her right shoulder. And that little dot's her eyelashes and her nose, and she's looking away. And the old woman, you can see her chin is kind of tucked into her jacket. She's kind of looking down. You're seeing kind of a profile of her face. You can see her eye, you know, her left eye, you know, her nose. Right, again, I wish I could show you. I'd point it out to you, but hopefully you can see it. So again, if you haven't, by the way, this we go into more detail on this in lesson number four, module number four. You can go in more in depth with some of this, but I wanted to just kind of cover some of it. And as well, I want to give you kind of an updated craving crusher technique. It's kind of cool. But so again, this picture isn't a young woman or an old woman. It's both. And it's up to us to depending on our perception, which one we're going to see. So let's talk a little bit about advertising, because this is truly one of our main enemies. And I literally think, you know, it might sound like strong language, but you know, when we look at our weight and our health and our happiness, one of the biggest things you have to overcome is the way you think about food. And the main kind of adversary trying to convince you to think about food differently are these advertisers. You know, it's that simple. And so I just want to go through a couple of ways that they kind of condition us. And again, I write hypnotize because it's one and the same. You know, it's really the advertising techniques that are being used are literally hypnosis techniques. They're the exact same thing. And so the first one is that you want to have a receptive subject, right? So that's one of the first kind of secrets of being able to hypnotize someone, is that the subject is relaxed. Again, when we talk about hypnosis, we're bypassing the critical faculty. So we don't want people questioning what we're saying. We just want them to accept and absorb it and respond to it. And so typically the advertising, a lot of times is most effective, ironically, and a lot of people don't realize this, is the advertising you're not paying attention to. And so a lot of times people think that they're defending themselves. It's, oh, I don't pay attention to the ads. Well, that makes it literally even more effective because it's going straight into your unconscious mind. Okay. And so the main ways when you're watching TV, when you're listening to the radio, you know, internet, right? I mean, the ads are everywhere, you know, omnipresent. So again, that stuff's just going into our head, and it may not cause you in that moment to go out and buy it, but understand that's not the purpose of advertising. It's to condition your perceptions. All right. And so again, when you're a receptive subject, that's one thing. A lot of the advertising that is effective is appealing to your emotions. And there was really a big shift around 1930s, 1940s. There was a big shift in advertising where if you look at advertising before that, it would a lot of times talk about the product in very logical terms, you know, reason why it was the best, and it'd be long copy, a lot of words describing why it was so good. And really now what you get to, I think maybe the ultimate version of this is like Geico ads, where they don't even have anything to do with anything, but they're so weird that they just get your attention. And then they throw that tagline in there. Okay. So again, we make decisions on emotional levels, and then we justify it with logic. Okay. And again, this has been proven. This is, even if it doesn't feel like that's how you make decisions, I promise you, this is how you're making most of your decisions. Again, what they're looking to do is they're not trying to convince you logically, but they're looking to associate emotions and meaning to the product that they're selling. And so again, that's kind of the Geico thing, right? They're associating humor, you know, to their product. I'm going to give you some examples of all this in a moment, especially with Coca-Cola. They're one of the best at it, and I wish they weren't. But again, they really go overboard with this. But it's really, on an unconscious level, all we do is just associate emotions to things. And so I can't tell you my conversation about it. People know, oh, I shouldn't drink soda. There's nothing good about it. But there's something about it that makes me feel good, right? And so again, that drives so much of our behavior. Okay, that's just normal. It's natural. It's how we're raised. But this can be used both ways, though. And that's why I'm telling you this, is that we can also condition ourselves using these exact same techniques. I'm going to show you how in a few moments. Again, they're conditioning our perceptions. This is key. You know, exactly, you know, like for example, I'll show you this in a moment, even with the soda, but you can think of soda in different ways. The way you think about it, if you're a soda drinker, is different than how I think about it. Okay. Same exact object. It's the same ingredients, the same thing. Yet we would think about it very differently. We perceive it very differently. And so every advertisement is trying to condition the way you perceive their product. And, you know, even right to the point, they literally have like food makeup artists, you know, for the foods. Like I remember cereal is like, they don't put milk in the cereal because it will make it soggy. So they put glue, right? Because it kind of pops on camera. So again, they are influencing our perceptions. And if you eat fast food, you've experienced this, because the food you get compared to the food that they show in commercials or in their ads are two totally different things. But the perceptions that you hold in your mind have a huge impact when you're actually eating the real sandwich. And so literally the way you're perceiving it unconsciously is influencing how you taste the food, right? So even on that deep level. And again, they're looking to be unusual, catchy, funny, just to get your attention, just to be something different. And then finally is repetition. So if you ever wondered why, you know, if you're watching a sports game or if you're watching a show, you see the same commercial come on, you know, six times in the hour, it's because repetition works, right? And so the more they put it in there, the more influence it has on you, and all of it's all unconscious. So let's talk about Coca-Cola, right? Like I said, they're kind of the, you know, all the things I just mentioned, they're kind of the kings of this. And, you know, I picked this picture because when we talk about associations, just unconscious, deep emotions that we associate to a product, you may not realize this, but Coca-Cola literally, they hired an ad man. That's the guy, or those are the people that created our current version of Santa. So before Coca-Cola's Santa was portrayed differently. And so Coca-Cola literally created our version of Santa at this point, and they use him in this ad. And so again, you can see that they're not trying to convince you to drink soda logically here, right? They're just linking up emotion. Now, the reason I keep mentioning that to you is because it's not real, right? This Coca-Cola has absolutely nothing to do with Santa in reality. It has absolutely nothing to do with, you know, a young girl's excitement, you know, while she looks at Santa and Coca-Cola at the same time. They're generating an emotional response. They're eliciting a response from you, and they're linking it to their product. And that association drives a lot of our behavior. Okay. And so the reason I say that to you is that sometimes we can feel like, well, I really feel like I want that. But I want you to understand that feeling, don't let it run you. it doesn't have a lot of legs to stand on. It's just a vague feeling that's influencing us. It's not the truth. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Here's another example, right? Again, Coca-Cola and, the Olympics, right? And of course, this really just drives the point home, because Coca-Cola drinking sugar water and being a elite athlete, right? Again, two contradictory concepts or ideas, and yet they stick them together, and we literally tap into that a bit, and it influences us. Okay. So we need to, again, this is why I say the truth. When we can see this, when we start to become aware of this process going on, that becomes kind of a shield of defense. Well, we need more, but that's at least one level of defense that we can look at these ads. I usually turn them off. If I'm exposed to an ad, I'll turn it off if I can. And the next step I look at is I look to analyze the ad exactly through the lens that I'm talking about here. What are they doing to try and manipulate me? What are they doing to manipulate other people? And so that's, again, something you can do when you're watching these ads, and it starts to give you a sense of freedom. So let's talk a little bit more about Coke, right? And so logic versus emotion. We were just talking about the emotion, right? Every ad they put out there is creating this, it's eliciting an emotion in you. But again, if we look here at what's going on, we're talking about, what is this? A 20-ounce bottle, 65 grams of sugar, right? In a serving. 240 calories. And while I'm at it, let me just mention this. Our bodies do not register liquid calories like they do solid calories, right? There were no liquid calories in nature. Okay. So I just wanted to point that out, that liquid calories, your body doesn't track them the same way. And so you don't feel full from them. And it's just pure extra calories. Okay. So again, I'm going to move down kind of the logic chain here. Again, we talked about emotion. We'll get back to emotion in a moment. But so the logic I'm going to tell you about is I'm giving you some facts. And this is what some people try to do. It's okay, well, there's a lot of sugar in soda, right? 65 grams. Great. So you're kind of like, okay, that's not too good. But let's take it a step further. Let's go into the ingredients. We look at the ingredients, right? We got carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, phosphoric acid, natural flavors, and caffeine. Okay. So, again, high fructose corn syrup, if you don't know, it's an artificial sweetener, and it's fast replacing natural sugar. It's cheaper to make. It's made by milling corn and cornstarch and then processing the cornstarch into a glucose syrup, all right? And if you don't know, it's been directly linked to obesity, diabetes, metabolic dysfunction, right? So we know all this. So we talked about the sugar, right, in kind of an abstract way. Then we go into the ingredients. Now maybe you're feeling a little bit, right, not as good about soda as you may have been. Let's take it a step further. And now what we're going to do is we're going to kind of use their own game against them. Or I could tell you 65 grams of sugar, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot to you, right? It's kind of an abstract concept. It doesn't really mean much. But so let's try it this way. 20 ounces of soda contains about 22 packs of sugar, right? So now we have a concept that we can understand, right? If you're a coffee drinker, if you're a tea drinker, if you've ever put a packet of sugar into your drink, imagine putting 22 packets of sugar into any drink that you've ever had, right? For most people, that just seems disgusting. Almost seems impossible, right? How could you do that? And yet every 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola has that in there. Okay. So now what I've done is I've shifted your perception. The logic alone didn't do it. And this may not have done it completely, but hopefully you're getting the idea, right? Because it's a visual perception an idea, right? So again, if I tell you, hey, soda's not good for you, okay, but that doesn't change your perception. Hey, that soda's got, 65 grams of sugar in it. Ooh, that sounds like a lot. Doesn't change your perception. We go through the ingredients. Okay, it changes your perception a little bit. And now we pull it here. Now you have a visual shift in your perception. If you drink soda, that each time you drink a 20-ounce bottle of soda, it's just like dumping 22 packets of sugar into a drink and drinking it. And again, when you think of it that way, you probably have a different response, right? You might have a visceral response of disgust. That's gross. I don't want that. Okay. But again, notice the perception shifts. But now I'm going to take you back the other way, because unfortunately you're going to probably forget this. Why? Because you're going to see this, something like this here, maybe 40 times over the next 24 hours, right? Again, going right back to conditioning your perception. Opening happiness, right? Is this happiness? right? Is diabetes, again, I'm not going to do it to you, the pictures of rotten teeth, diabetes, you know, issues, heart disease, you know, all the other things that it's linked to, obesity, is that happiness? You know, so again, we have to start taking control of this stuff. And so one way to do that, again, is to begin to tap into the emotions that these foods create for you, right? So again, I'm not going to just stick soda with this alone, but when there's foods you're struggling with, what I want you to start doing is going to the perceptual level and re-perceiving them. Again, one way to do that is to understand, look into the ingredients of what's in it. Look into the nutritional information. But then I like to do this. I like to go, so let's just say at night you eat ice cream and you're struggling with that. What I'd like you to do as well, again, doing that, going to the ingredients, going to the nutritional information, but then I like to go into the emotional side of it. And so what you do is you say, okay, this, every time I finish that ice cream, how do I feel? Right? When I finish that ice cream, maybe I finish the whole container, maybe I finish half of it and then put it back. How do I feel as soon as I finish it? And again, remember I said the truth is your strongest weapon. So I want you to be honest with yourself. And there's a lot of other emotions other than these that are kind of negative, but I just give this just kind of get you going. When you eat the way you eat that makes you feel bad, what emotions are you feeling? And again, some of those emotions are in the moment. So you finish binging, you finish eating the thing you know you shouldn't and don't want to, maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you're feeling desperate. Maybe you're frustrated with yourself. Okay, so there's an instant emotional response when you eat the wrong foods. Okay, so I want you to start tapping into that. The next step is that you make it bigger. And so you say to yourself, you know, and again, you want to do this kind of a behavior at a time. So if it's an evening snacking behavior you want to change, you can start to look at that. And you can look at when it's over, how you feel. But then you can say to yourself, okay, what is the accumulated effect this behavior is having on me? Okay. And so if you're snacking at night, you could say, what do I believe that this behavior repeated over weeks, over months, over years? What emotions is that causing me to feel on a regular basis? Okay. So if you're snacking at night every night, you know, maybe you're putting away 500, 700 calories every night. You know what I mean? Maybe that's responsible for up to 20, 30 pounds on your body. Maybe it makes you sleep less soundly, makes you more tired the next day, right? Makes you feel crappier in your clothes, makes you feel desperate, makes you feel out of control. You see what I mean? This isn't fun to do necessarily, but you see how we're changing the perception of the food. We're not just saying, oh, I got to stop eating at night. I got to stop eating those cookies and that ice cream at night. See, when you say that, you're not changing any perception. You're just saying, hey, willpower, just magically make something happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to put the work in here and you have to say, okay, let me re-perceive the food that I'm struggling with. Okay. And so one of the easiest ways to do it is to tap into the emotions that are short-term, like as soon as you finish that eating that food, how you feel about yourself, medium-term, which could be literally like the next 24 hours. So if it's a nighttime thing, you know, how do you feel the next morning when you wake up and you reflect on what you did the night before? Okay, so that's kind of the medium term in this case. And then there's the long term, you know, that behavior over months, over years, what emotions is that giving to you? Okay, that's how we start to change the perceptions. Now, next one, I want to give you kind of a deeper one because, again, we talked about emotions, but even physically, you know, sometimes we say, well, okay, I shouldn't eat this. It's kind of fattening, but it doesn't really mean much to us. Right? Even just weight in general sometimes doesn't mean much to us because we've been living with it for a while. And so I give you this picture because this is a paradigm shift, right? This is a perception shifter that this weight that you're carrying around, perhaps it's not just a superficial thing that's affecting how you look, right? It's affecting how your body functions. It's affecting your health on a very, very deep, deep level. It's affecting your longevity, your quality of life, right? It's literally affecting the size of your heart. You know, if you end up getting big enough, you have more blood and your heart has to pump more blood around your body and it gets bigger, right? Because it's a muscle. Okay. So this is real. This is a serious game we're playing here, right? It's literally life or death. And so hopefully that's a perception shift for you, you know, all leading you in a different direction. And so I show you this, and now I want to show you this one. Does it feel any different? Right? If you're drinking soda and it's leading to this, what are you going to feel the next time you see this stupidness? And you know what they do now? You know, I didn't put it up here, but Coca-Cola does this thing now where they put your name on the can. All right, talking about association and perception. So what happens is it becomes a little happy version of you in that can, right? Open happiness, right? Is that happiness? You know, I don't think there's anything happy about soda. So there it is. And now what I want to do is I want to share with you the Craving Crusher. If you haven't gotten to module four yet, or if you haven't watched in a while, basically the Craving Crusher, as I've taught in the past, is a kind of a hypnotic mental exercise where you imagine the food, a food that you're struggling with, and you imagine eating it while you're standing on a scale in your bathroom, watching yourself in the mirror eat it. And again, you can even add an extra bonus step where you're naked eating it, you know, watching yourself eating it. And people always like that. It's pretty good, right? Because what it does is it changes up your perception. Because so often when it comes to foods, especially the foods, the fattening foods that we eat sometimes get lost in, here's one of the problems. When we step on the scale, when we see ourselves in a picture, when we see ourselves in the mirror, there's that food's not around, right? When we feel bad about our weight, typically there's no food around. It's just us. And so what ends up happening is we just feel bad about ourselves. And so this is one of the tricks about food a lot of times, is that rarely do we get to associate the pain that it causes with what's causing it. Because when we feel the pain of the scale or the clothes that are tight or the mirror or the picture we see, the food's gone. And so we don't get to associate to what caused it. And then what happens on top of that is we feel like crap. And next thing you know, we want to feel better. Well, what's one of the easiest ways to feel better? We'll start eating some of that food again. Take our mind off it. Okay. And so then we start eating the food and we just get pleasure in that moment. And there's none of the pain that it causes around at that time. Okay, so that's what the Craving Crusher is all about. It's about cleansing the lenses of your perception and creating a stronger, more honest link and connection between the cause and the effect. The cause being these foods that we think are so great, but they don't seem so great when we put them right next to the effect that they create. Okay, and so that's what this updated Craving Crusher is. And this is not for the faint of heart, but I want to share it with you. I've shared it with a couple clients and they've used it and it's been very powerful for them. So I want to share it with you. So simply, it's very similar. You're going to choose a food that you're struggling with. Okay. So for example, if it's, you know, I was talking about cookies and ice cream, right? The big ones, or maybe it's a bag of chips. Let's just say chips for this one. It could be anything. It doesn't matter. So if you've been struggling with it, again, you're never changing your perception of it. Your unconscious perception is that this food's really good. You try and use your logical conscious mind to willpower yourself and say, no, don't give in to that perception. But here's where things change. We want to change the way we think of that food. And one of the easiest ways to do it is with this technique here. So you get the food that you're struggling with. We'll say in this case, it's a bag of chips. And so what you're going to do is you're going to go and get it and you're going to bring it into the bathroom with you. Okay. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get your scale. And what you're going to do is you're going to stand on that scale and you're going to start eating that food while you stand there on that scale, looking down at it. And then part of your time, you're going to stand there watching yourself eat it in the mirror. And what that does is it associates the true cause and effect of the food, right? Because now you're taking, you know, again, if it's chips or cookies or ice cream or cake or whatever it may be, what you're doing now is you're directly linking that food, that behavior to the effect of it. Now, I want to be clear here. Let me make a quick point. This is not about judging yourself, okay? This isn't about self-loathing and hating your body and hating yourself for doing it. It has nothing to do with that. That does not stop you from overeating crappy foods. You know this. This is about just being able to clearly see that while you may think that that cookie is so enjoyable, when you put it right next to the effect of being a higher weight than you want to be, of looking puffier in your face, of your clothes being tight, right? So that's actually an extra one you could do if you wanted. Again, you could stand naked. You don't have to do that. But this would be an interesting one. Go put a pair of pants on or some outfit on that's tight on you, right? That you've gotten big for and it doesn't fit right, right? Stand in front of that mirror, stand on that scale. Again, it's not about hating yourself. I can't stress that enough. It's about linking together the cause and the effect. You know, because if we look at these foods, oh, I love cookies. Oh, I love ice cream. I can't give those up. Yeah, you can love them. Fine, love them. But let's just see what they're actually doing to you. What is the cause of this weight issue? Here it is. Let's put them together. Most people have never done this before. It's very powerful. Why is it powerful? Because it's the truth. And it's a truth that we rarely recognize. Okay, so I say this, if you are struggling with a food, you want to not struggle with it, please do this. This 5-minute exercise is a game changer. You know, so give it a shot. If you do it, let me know, you know, what effect it has on you as well. All right. And so again, I leave you with this, that whatever food you're struggling with, I want you to, again, this is one way to do it. The other ways is you're watching TV or when you're coming across ads, bring a little bit more consciousness to it. Think about what I was talking about tonight. Understand some of the mechanisms they're using, some of the tools they're using to manipulate you and how you feel about it. And realize you have to understand this because you want your freedom. You deserve your happiness. Start thinking about the food you struggle with and start recognizing the negative effects that it has, not just physically, but emotionally, right? How do you feel when you finish that pint of ice cream emotionally? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel when you finish that bag of cookies? Okay, because again, that perception is real. And when you start thinking of that perception primarily, again, it changes everything. Okay, so I hope that helps you out. And if you have any questions, let's see here. Hey, Connie. Yeah, I know. By the way, I'm glad you got back on here. We have a little bit of issues, but they are fixed now. They are fixed. And by the way, even if you do want to say anything, if you want to talk, there should be some button somewhere there, and we could test that out. But otherwise, you can just chat in there and write in if you have any questions or comments. Yeah, popcorn and Coke in the movie theater, right? That is a classic example. On top of that, I was just in the theater the other day, and I was noticing that they always show you some ad in the beginning where you're seeing people, again, eating popcorn, candy, soda in the theater. Stopping eating popcorn, I still get it once in a while, but I don't usually do it. And that was a very weird thing, just purely out of association, right? Because, again, I mean, whatever, the popcorn tastes good and all the rest of it, but your perception of going to the movies and having been complete experience sometimes is linked up with having popcorn and candy and soda and all the rest of it. Okay. But that perception is not truth. You understand? It feels true, but it's not the truth. Okay. I just don't buy it. As an adult, I can look and desire, but I can also tell myself, no, I'm happier when I stay with my long-term strategy. Yeah. Great. So that's good. Right. And, here's the thing, right? So again, that's kind of a willpower-based approach, and you're still going to do that sometimes, okay? You're obviously still going to use willpower, but what we want to do is we want to balance it out as well with changing our perceptions. You see, and let me give you an example of what I mean by that. If you've ever been, well, if you're a non-smoker and you've always been a non-smoker, then, you know, you can, if you've always been a non-smoker, when you think about smoking, it's like you perceive it as being gross. So the way you perceive it leads to feelings and associations of gross. That's, I don't want that. And so you don't have to fight against cravings, right? If you've been a smoker and now you're a non-smoker, you understand that you think differently about it. Okay. And so it's always interesting too. If you think to yourself, here's one we've all gone through. When you were growing up, there was probably some toy that you were just obsessed with, right? You loved it. Maybe it was a doll or a G.I. Joe or a soccer ball or whatever it may have been. But now as an adult, you could kind of care less about it. You couldn't get yourself that excited again if you tried. Well, what's different? It's the way that you perceive it. Okay. So the way we perceive things, and by the way, sometimes this takes a little bit of, sometimes it takes you a little while. You have to keep doing it. Okay. So just, this doesn't always just fix itself instantly. Sometimes it does. Again, the craving crusher is one way you can make it happen very quickly, but even the craving crusher sometimes will fade because we're constantly being influenced by all the advertisement. We don't live in a vacuum. So again, what I'm saying to you here ultimately is that if there are foods you're struggling with, I want you to consistently work to go to a deeper level. Don't just say, I'm going to stop myself from doing that. Okay, I want you to think to yourself, how could I think about it in a different way so that I wouldn't even want to do it? You understand? So it's a little bit of a deeper approach to it. And I do this all the time. If I want to give something up, that's the first level I go to. I ask myself, how would I need to think about that in order to be free of it? Or how would I need to think about it to have more control over it? Okay. And so, and again, you ruminate on that a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Reading labels can take you out of the desire mode for sure. Right. Why? It re-perceives you, right? The soda thing's great like that. I mean, soda is just purely sugar water. It is just, and it's not even sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup water. It's literally diluted corn syrup. And so, you know what I mean? Like that's the reality of it. That's the real perception of what it is. All the extra emotional stuff is just, it's not real, right? It's all been manufactured. What it actually is, again, it's, diluted, you know, high fructose corn syrup, you know, that simple. And so that would be a perceptual shift. And so that's what you would want to work to reinforce. And again, you don't have to do this with every food. Pick the foods that are challenging to you. Again, yeah, do that. Look up their nutritional information. Look up their ingredients. Do the craving crusher with it. Think about the emotions that it leads to immediately in the medium term and long term. Okay? Transform the way you perceive these things. Because once that perception changes, it's a paradigm shift. And once it shifts, once it changes, and it holds on, that's when you get a sense of freedom that you're truly looking for. Okay, that's a key thing. But you need to have a replacement to use in place of food. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Reduce, replace, remove. Okay, those are kind of the options. Sometimes you'll be able to just remove something and that's it. Okay, sometimes. Sometimes you'll just start reducing, right? And that's about as far as you can get at the time. That's okay too. And then sometimes, yeah, replacing, like you said, is a good thing. You know, so again, understand, with everything we're doing here, we always want to have options. There's never like one thing works all times, right? The more options you have, the more flexible you are, the better the results you're going to get are. Okay. So yeah. Do you need to have a replacement to use? Maybe, you know, removing it completely is kind of ideal, right? That's what we all want to do. I snack at night. Now I don't snack at all at night anymore. Right? Great. And that works sometimes. Sometimes what I did is with my evening eating, and again, that took a while. I had to work through it. It's the same type of process. And so one of the shifts I made when I ate at night, the big shift for me that helped me, and it was a couple different things, is that I started to re-perceive the nighttime eating. And so instead of just thinking of the nighttime eating in a vacuum, I started to connect what I ate at night to how I felt the next morning when I woke up. And so I started to realize if I ate a lot at night and I snacked at night, I woke up the next morning feeling bad about myself. I felt more tired. I just felt more sluggish. Okay. So that was a shift in perception. But back to that point, Pat, is that I also began to come up with some replacements at first. And so the replacements were lower calorie things, healthier things. So some of the classics like carrots, celery, you know, things that were kind of crunchy. For a little while, it was just plain pretzels. Again, not the healthiest thing. It was a good shift, you know, into things. And eventually I landed on water. So I guess you could say the water is kind of still a replacement. It's still something I'm thinking about because I always want to get my water in. And so that, I guess technically that probably be a replacement, even though, you know, most people would say, well, you went from eating, you know, 600-800 calories of food at night of junk food to just drinking water. We'd probably call that removal. But for me, it felt like replacement. And then again, the last one is reducing. You know, so again, Pat, I don't want to give you, there's not just one answer. It's kind of like, it's always specific. You try something, see how it works. If it works, great. Double down on it. If it kind of works, learn something from it, twist around a little bit and try something else. Okay. So, that'd be my suggestion of that. What do you think of higher pH waters like Icelandic glacier? I couldn't tell you that whole alkaline acidic thing was real popular years ago. I have to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about it and I haven't read about it in a while. Typically when you don't hear about something for a while ever anymore, it's because there wasn't a lot to it, you know? So I couldn't say. So my initial gut reaction sometimes is like the pH thing is, I don't know, you know, maybe it has some effect, but at the very least it's probably marginal. You know, it's probably not too much of an effect, but I don't know enough about it. As far as waters go, one thing I've heard, like, is distilled water. They say that leaches vitamins and minerals out of your body. I don't know if that's true, but I have kind of heard that lately. So I wish I could give you a better answer. I'll look that up, though. I'm kind of curious, the whole pH thing. But I don't know. I guess I'll tell you one thing. I mean, water is a big deal, but typically, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, even like the alkalinity or the acidity of my body, I would tend to focus more on the food, you know, than water. But I don't know. I'll stop talking about it because I don't know enough about it. Halos and raw cashews. Awesome. Right. Yeah. And so that's another replacement, by the way, is going from processed. There's all kinds of replacements. So I think one of the best replacements you can make in general is going from processed foods to natural foods, whole foods. Okay. And so even if you're eating the same amount of calories, that they process differently, they interact differently in your body. Okay. So that's something I would suggest. Yeah. Eating a lot more salads and fruit this summer. Super. Right. And it's kind of a nice time to do that. So that's perfect. Hey, Connie, you want to talk? Let's see how this works. Let's see. Yeah, you on there, Connie? You talking? Can you hear you? No, I don't hear you. Nope. Maybe you took it off. I don't know if you still want to talk, just do that again. I'm not sure. This is kind of a new one I'm doing too, but I think it's better. So, here you go again. Let's see if this works. Accept. Nope. Hello. Can you hear me? Anybody new presenter? All right. I'm not sure why it's working. I'm gonna have to look that up because I want to be able to talk to you, but, yeah, just shoot me. Connie, if you want to talk at some point, just shoot me a, something on Skype and I will do it. Try one more time. See if it works. I don't know why. Let me see. My dashboard here says speak requests, and there's a speaking request that you put up, and then I click the green arrow that says accept, and then nothing happens. Let me try something else here. Let me try one more time. Accept. Yeah. Not working. I'll have to look that one up. We're almost there though. But at least you're on the call. So sorry everyone. But you can type anything if you have any questions. Oh, we keep getting dropped off. All right. Yeah, I'm not sure why that's happening. But yeah. All right, everyone. Well, very good. Have a great night, and we will talk next week. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great night.